Everybody ready? Okay, I will call this meeting to order. It is the board meeting of the Orlama Sanitary District at 5 o'clock on December 9, and it's nice to be back in the boardroom. Thank you very much. The renovations were well done. Thank you. So I will call the meeting to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Certainly. Director Simon.
Present.
Director Dean.
Here.
Secretary Duncan. Vice President Lee.
Present.
And President Young.
Present. If you'll stand and join Director Lee in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Indeed. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you.
I know that we have one member of the general public with us. However, he is not here to speak on a general item. So it's within my discretion to allow him to speak early because he has another obligation. So if you'd like to speak, Mr. Meadows, is it? Under item 7.1, please go ahead. We can hear you, or we have a microphone.
Thank Good evening, members of the Oraloma Board. I'm here to speak regarding the proposed redistricting item, which is number 7.1. When I attended the previous meeting, your district council, Mr. Mogg, gave a very excellent overview of the pros and cons of. Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
Moving, he presented a very good overview of the pros and cons of the options facing the board. What I found interesting was in litigation, you rarely encounter the opposing party before the litigation has even started. Yet at that same hearing, the same person who has brought litigation against a number of other districts actually spoke. And he basically gave this board a warning that if you do not act, he will move forward with litigation. And it's rare to get that kind of advance notice of possible risk in making a decision that defers this out to another year. I read this summary that the district council attached to the agenda, and I would recommend moving forward as quickly as possible in terms of getting the resolution passed, even if the actual execution takes longer, because then I believe you've passed the first threshold, which is having a resolution passed, which minimizes your risk to this board. So I recommend that. And those were my comments for this evening. And I appreciate you letting me speak so I can meet my other commitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Meadows, for your comments. All right, then we shall move on to our board agenda. Item 5 is the consent calendar for the minutes of November 25. Any comments or questions? Are there other members of the general public, Patricia?
Yes, sir.
But are they for general comments or for item 7.1? If someone wants to speak on an item not on the agenda, please raise your hand. I don't see any hands raised. Oh, no. So I don't see any hands raised for general public comment. So we'll move on to item 5.1, approval of board minutes. Questions, comments, motion?
So moved.
Dean second.
Moved by Director Simon, second by Director Dean. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those
aye.
opposed say no. Motion carries 5 ayes. Thank you very much. Move on to new business item 6.1, approval of general manager's vacation request. Mr. Deng.
Yes, just as the description shows here, according to my employment contract, anything over 10 consecutive approval. I plan a leave between March 27th and April 13th of next year, totaling exceeding the 10 consecutive days. So 12 days in total, so permission is asked today for granting that vacation request.
Thank you. Comments? Questions, comments, Director Simon?
Yes, just one.
Will you be sharing that with the board at some point?
Yes, so as we get closer to that date, I will have an email to the board of who will be covering while I'm out, and I will be available daily, not necessarily hourly, but to be able to answer questions and phone calls and emergencies and so forth. I can provide that, yes. Typically, I haven't, but I can.
Not a lot of work, just something simple, if the other board members are okay with that.
Anything else, Fred? Director Duncan?
I also wanted to just echo. Okay. Does it work?
Push the right button.
Okay. We don't want to have an incident that happened last time when you were out. It could have happened while you were there, but us having a little bit more awareness of what major projects may be happening while you are on vacation, I think it would just alleviate some of the anxiety that I may have when you're gone. Since we don't know, you're not sure who's going to be your backup. So thank you. That was my comment.
Thank you. Director Lee?
I just had a question for the general manager. Aren't all the projects covered in our subcommittee minutes?
They are generally presented at the construction committee level, but not all projects are presented. Typically, the major ones are. Anything over 100,000 for sure is usually covered in the construction committee.
Thank you for that answer.
Dr. Dean, anything from you? Thank you. I think your response was appropriate, and perhaps when you do your email, you can touch on the larger projects that are in process while you're absent. Thank you for that. So I would consider a motion on item 6.1.
Director Lee, move to approve.
I'll second.
Director Simon. Moved by Director Lee, second by Director Simon. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. No abstentions. Motion carries 5 ayes. Thank you very much. Item 6.2, accept project as complete and authorization to direct the filing of a notice of completion for the pipeline rehab and replacement project phase 7. How exciting. Mr. Dang?
Yes, this was approved or recommended for approval by the construction committee back in June, pending any punch list items by the engineering group and the contractor. Those have been completed to our satisfaction. And all our projects in the street, we need to close this out with the county. And that's what's being asked for today.
Thank you. Questions, comments? I would entertain a motion to approve. Motion to accept. I'm sorry, I said approve.
Director Lee, motion to, I move, move for approval on this item.
Director Duncan will second.
Thank you. Moved by Director Lee, second by Director Duncan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Motion carries five ayes. Would be 5 plus 1 more for me. That would be 6. All right. So we'll get to the meat of this meeting today is item 7.1, a board discussion and direction on whether to voluntarily transition to district-based elections for the board of directors. How many speakers do we have? I want to make sure at some point. So Mr. Mogg is going to make the presentation. And at some point, if we can figure out how many speakers we have, it would be helpful. Looks like there are 3.
Good evening, board members. This is our follow-up to our October 28th meeting. The board had requested an initial presentation on what district-based elections were. And so at that meeting, we got some background information. Then there was requests for a little more detailed presentation about what it would look like to voluntarily transition. So I'm going to go through a little bit of background just to recap that and then talk about some other relevant things. So California Voting Rights Act, as a reminder, this is the law that really drives districts and cities and other public agencies to transition to district-based elections. Under the California Voting Rights Act, there is a claim if a plaintiff can show racially polarized voting. And racially polarized voting exists when there is a difference in candidate preference for a racial minority and the majority group. So people often say, well, we have a really diverse board. That sort of doesn't matter. What you're looking at is the voting preferences. So it could be that the racial minority group prefers the Caucasian candidate, and their preferred candidate is not being able to win because the majority is able to defeat them. It doesn't involve any type of discriminatory intent. And that's not necessary at all. It's a much broader law than the Federal Voting Rights Act, and it's a much lower bar for a plaintiff to succeed in these types of cases. So we have at-large elections in Oro Loma, and many districts have that where all voters in the district can vote for all candidates for election, right? You see on your ballot, depending on the year, a bunch of candidates, and it says vote for three or vote for two, and the top three vote getters get elected, or the top two, depending on the year. So that's at large voting, at large district. The CVRA contains a safe harbor where if you get a demand letter accusing you of violating the Voting Rights Act, you can avoid full litigation by agreeing to transition to district-based elections. And when we talk about district-based elections in this context, we mean by district-based elections, which means that the candidate has to be from the district, and also only residents of the district are able to vote in the election. You may be familiar. San Leandro has from district-based elections where the candidates are from the districts, but everyone in the city gets to vote. The safe harbor is for transitioning to the more narrow by district elections. In response to a demand letter, it's possible that the transition could have to be completed in as short as 135 days. There is some potential wiggle room, but that's sort of the worst case scenario from the date of receipt of a letter. And of course, agencies can transition at any time without receiving any sort of demand. So district boundaries, what did I do? So can you, this, I can't figure out what direction. We go one forward. This is fine. So districts, when you make districts, there are certain rules they have to comply with that, obviously most basic one is you need to have substantially equal population in them. You need to comply with the Federal Voting Rights Act about how generally, at least as the law exists today, about how minorities are distributed within these districts. You need to be geographically contiguous, right? One district can't be made up of two unconnected areas. Although, I'll say with a caveat, this will happen in our district because we have a un in Oro Loma because we have an unconnected area. But other than that, it can't happen. You need to preserve neighborhoods and communities of interest, have easily identifiable boundaries, and be reasonably compact. There are probably hundreds of different ways you could draw districts to meet this definition. And so a lot of discretion is left to the board, because the reality is everything's not going to fit neatly into five districts, right? If you have a community of interest that's 22,000 people, and we have five districts of, of 20,000 each, they can't all those 22,000 people won't be able to fit in that district. So you're going to have to split it up somehow. And so there are, a whole lot of factors you're looking at. Do you put 20,000 in one and 2,000 in another? Is that packing them to dilute their influence? Or do you split them into two and now they're big blocks in both and they have really strong influence in both? That's just a unspecific way of me saying, like, there's no one way to meet this. And there are a lot of different variations of how maps would look. Under the Fair Maps Act, we also our lines also have to comply with California's Fair Maps Act, which means you can't draw districts for the purpose of favoring or discriminating against incumbent candidates. So we will have to hire a demographer to help with this process. There are basically two main firms who do this. They will assist both with drawing the boundaries and giving you, examples of allowable boundaries, and also with the outreach process, right? They have sort of, in some ways, FAQs and websites ready to go. And depending on which sort of version you're paying for, they have options for the public to draw maps online and submit those and that sort of thing. So estimated cost of the demographer is in the ballpark of 60 to 80,000. That is a rough number. We did not get proposals in case the dis board decided it didn't want to move forward, but this is just from looking at other jurisdictions near us. I think HARD, for example, went through this process in 2023, and theirs was a contract for $60,000. And so, there's been some inflation since then. I know that the board, if it decides to go forward, feels very strongly about community engagement. And so I think we'd probably want to pay for all the services they offer to help us do that. So that's a rough estimate. And once you start this process, after every census, you have to adjust your boundaries. In the future, the process is much simpler and should cost a lot less. Of course, the board always has the right to, completely redraw the boundaries after a 2030 census. But what you see is mostly tinkering with the boundaries, right? We wouldn't expect, this isn't a fast-growing area where we suddenly expect there to be huge population growth we need to account for to completely redraw our boundaries in a few years. There we go. So, if the board transitions, no elected member of the board by law, none of their terms are cut short. So if you were elected, let's say in 2020, if the board were to choose to transition in 2026 and you were elected in 2024, you would serve out your full 4-year term. And so you would see a period of time where three members of the board were representing specific districts and two members were still representing at large. So once the district One of the things the district will have to decide, the board, is how to sequence the districts, right? We know that if you do transition 2026, that three district seats will be up, but we don't know what three seats those will be. And so that's one of the things the board will have to make a decision on, is how to sequence the districts. So board members can continue to serve their terms. When they are up for re-election, they can only run for re-election in the district in which they reside. So If the board decides to move forward with the process, I just want to lay out how this process works. The board would adopt a resolution of intent to transition. That stops someone from being able to sue the district for violating the California Voting Rights Act. It only stops them for 90 days. There's a little wiggle room there. There's ways to extend that, but like at the shortest possible variation, it's 90 days. At that same time, we'd likely hire a demographer, have a contract approved by the board for a demographer, and also set the schedule of the public hearings because the process requires five public hearings, whether you do this transition in response to a demand letter or voluntarily. And of course, we want to set that schedule up front so we can let the public know about it. Then we would have the first and second public hearing. There's no specific requirement for when the first public hearing has to occur, but the second public hearing has to be within 30 days of the first. And these public hearings are solely to obtain public input on maps. There are no draft maps being considered, but it's an opportunity for the public to come and say, we think it's really important that you keep this neighborhood together or whatever. Then the demographer will publish, we'll take what they've heard and what the board has, commented and draw draft maps that comply with all the legal requirements. And like I mentioned, there could be 100 variations. So they don't produce 100, they produce a few based on what they've heard. Those maps are published at least 7 days before the third public hearing. And they would be available on the website for folks to look at. And at the third public hearing and the fourth public hearing, the board reviews the maps, provides feedback, hears from the public on them, feedback and direction. So you can imagine in a third public hearing, the board might say, this map draft you gave us is good, but can you, combine this element of this map and that element of the other and show us what that would look like or request a different thing. Those new sets of map, if any, need to be published at least 7 days before the fourth public hearing. And then at the fourth public hearing, we would anticipate that the board would give direction on which map is the preferred map and what the preferred sequence of the districts are. That comes back at the fifth public hearing where the board would adopt a resolution transitioning to district elections, approve the whatever the district boundaries are selected, and also sequence the election. The deadline under state law to get these maps to the county is 125 days before the elect, excuse me, 144 days. Alameda County, when we asked, has told us they needed 144 days. Whether we could get in a big fight with them and force them to follow what is in state law, like probably, but I think it's probably not worth doing that if we can meet the 144-day deadline. They are quite large bureaucracy, and it can be difficult to get them to move
144.
from the next election. So if we want maps to be in place for November, I think it's 3rd, 2026 election, we need to send those to Alameda County 144 days before November 3rd.
105 days.
That's what state law says,
I got
but
it
Alameda
backwards.
County has told us they need them 125 days because they need to put them into their GIS system and make sure
Yeah, I got it.
it
Got it
all
more.
works.
Thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
So here are some potential timelines. Again, these aren't the only timelines. But one thing to keep in mind, we have one more meeting this month that would be a pretty quick turnaround to do anything. And then certainly to get quotes and proposals from a demographer. And then I would anticipate the first meeting of in January is the Tuesday of the CASA conference. So I anticipate that board meeting being canceled. And so Because you guys, most or many of you will be at that. And so the resolution, we'd come on January 27th to start the process. One thing I'll, as I walk through this, these all use regular board meeting dates. There's no requirement that they have to be regular board meeting dates, but just for simplicity, I use just regular board meeting dates to put that out there. So, to complete it as fast as possible and to get this all done within 90 days, if that was the board's process, we could do it on January 27th. And basically, every regular meeting, every 2 weeks, we'd have one of the five public hearings. And then we'd be done. And that would be within, a 90-day time frame, and it would be done. If we want to push off when we started for a while, to sort of the last possible date, we could wait to start this until March 24th. This alternative, and there are other alternatives, this is just one possibility, is still starting January 27th, but then not holding the first hearing for a month, giving ample time to sort of publicize it and get the word out to the community. The second public hearing is required to be within 30 days. And so we'd use almost that full 30 days, again, giving time to, get the word out for to the community and have that on February 24th. The third public hearing would be April 14th. We'd then have a month basically before the fourth public hearing, give time for the demographer to come up with any new maps. If the two public, if the third and fourth public hearing are only 2 weeks apart, the maps have to be published a week before the meeting. So that basically means the demographer only has a couple working days between the third public hearing and having to get them published if the meetings are only 2 weeks apart. So this would give a little more time to do that because it would have the fourth. Then we'd have the fourth public hearing, then we'd have shortly after that the fifth public hearing. Is sort of set this with a little cushion before the county wants the maps just to build in if something goes wrong and we need to rearrange something, it builds in some time. So these are not the only possibilities. What we would request is if the board decides to move forward on doing this, to provide some feedback on what sort of schedule you're looking for, and we can, if the board's moving forward, bring you some of those at the if we move forward on January 27th with adopting a resolution. So the fiscal impact, the demographer, like I said, costs between 60 and 80,000 is our estimate. There will be going forward a cost as well, but that should go down. I mean, there will be inflation, so at some point it'll go back up, but it will be an easier process for the demographer. They generally charge less for that. There will also be some staff and legal costs. So the demographer is going to be coordinating with staff and with me, and so it's not by no means 60 to 80,000, but there will be some time and costs associated with that. There should be a decrease, or there will be a decrease in the election costs. So the way Alameda County charges for elections is per voter. We will be going from a system where 100% of our voters vote in every election to, when the three districts are up, 60% of our voters vote in the election. And when two districts are up, 40% of the voters vote. So we will be charged less on this per voter, by this charge, right? Like in the years when your district's not up, you will get a ballot that has nothing related to Oro Loma in it, and that's why the cost is lower for them. This is pretty different than how it normally works in cities. I just want to mention because in most cities there are citywide races, and so even if your particular council member's not up, you might be voting for mayor. They much more frequently have ballot measures, and so you don't see these same savings. If we were to get a demand letter, we would end up paying probably, we'd have to pay plaintiff's fees. Those are capped at about $40,000. They usually manage to get up to what the cap is. I say it's about 40,000 because in the statute, it's $30,000 established in 2014, but it's adjusted each year for inflation and didn't do those exact calculations of what the relevant CPI is for us. I just use sort of a basic calculator for that. So with that, happy to pause for questions. What we are looking for tonight is first, does the board want to move forward with a voluntary transition? And if yes, does the board have any feedback on the proposed schedule? So with that, I'm happy to pause for any questions.
Should we start with Director Duncan?
Thank you. And when you talk about the voting population, where do we get that? Can you hear me? Can I? Can you answer mine?
You can ask that one question. Then we'll
thank you.
Public comment.
Where do we get our voting population?
So what I would say is two things. One, we get voting population from the Alameda County Registrar of Voters. Districts are not split to have equal number of voters. They're split to have equal number of residents. So that information comes from the county and through census, and the Department of Finance also has more refined numbers, but that's where it comes from. We don't do sort of a self-report from us. It's these outside sources that rely.
The reason I ask my question is supposedly we serve, what, 140-some people. And of that population, you know, what is the voting population is my question.
I can't answer that. I when the demographer is here, I'm sure they'd be able to give you that, but we could look it up. I'm sure we can look up how many voters are registered here, but it's not something I know off the top.
The deep part of my question is, how do we do Five Canyons? Because we don't do their garbage. We just do their sewer. So do they vote?
They're still within the district boundaries, even though we don't provide that particular service to them.
Thank you.
Sure. And if there are any other clarifying questions before I go to public comment. All right. So I do have, excuse me, four speakers online. And if anybody else wants to speak and I don't call your name, please raise your hand. The first speaker is Tyler Dragoni. Mr. Dragoni, you are up. You'll have to unmute yourself.
Hi.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, so I think this is an exciting opportunity for Oro Loma to essentially match every other special district that governs over the unincorporated area. I think it would be odd if Oro Loma actually didn't voluntarily go to by district elections. We have the Park District that is by district elections. We have the school district that is by district elections. And, you know, these are important, you know, governing agencies for our area. And because we do lack a municipal government, that I think our special district should be as representative as possible. And we do really live in a diverse area. And I think that's, you know, also a really important argument for voluntarily moving forward. So I support the timeline that was given by staff. I think there are like many other arguments that, you know, talk towards the fairness or speak to the fairness of by district elections. And there are many, you know, one that, you know, you are more likely to know your representatives that, you know, are local. So we don't have a, you know, geographic concentration representatives, and you know, and that's just one. I just think it's just overall more fair for the district or the special district to be by district elections. So I urge you to voluntarily move forward and essentially be like the park and school district. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Dagone. Next speaker is Matt Turner.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Excellent presentation by your council. The timeline looks really good, and I can tell you that surrounding districts who have done this have managed to do it in a much shorter timeline. So that's plenty of breathing room with what you've got there. And other folks, and there are more than two demographers out there, just so you know. But other folks also invite the public to participate in the map making. That was very successful with HARD, in that the public had access to a website which allowed everyone to see how each of the potential districts could be laid out, and come up with a variety of very thoughtful and nuanced maps, and that process actually significantly helped their board in refining and selecting a map. So the tools that are out there these days are easy for everyone to use, and can provide a quite robust level of public input beyond just the initial meeting times. And I would say that one of the things that HARD did that was excellent is that they extended their meeting times to, we have a particular goal tonight, and we're going to continue this meeting until we achieve our goal. So that was what allowed them to do it, and I believe it was under 60 days. So anyway, I strongly encourage you to take this up. The $40,000 potential liability, I'm sure there are folks out there right now slathering at the opportunity, and it'd be great to head them off at the pass and avoid such a liability. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Turner. Next speaker is Douglas Spaulding. Mr. Spaulding?
Can you hear me now?
Thank you. I can hear you. Could you and Mr.
Okay,
Turner?
I was waiting for to be prompted by a button. Well, I'm sitting here listening with much interest, trying to decide whether my next career move is into demography or litigation. I am happy with the tenor of the discussion. It seems like you're moving towards district elections, and I support that. I support the California Voting Rights Act. I believe it does provide the best paths for representation in governmental bodies. It's happening all over the state. It's happening all around us here in the region. You just had a speaker talking about the very positive experience in HARD. I will echo that with the very positive experience that happened in San Lorenzo Unified School District. The process, while it might seem daunting, is actually much smoother than you might imagine if you haven't been through it before. So it's the law, and why would we want to open ourselves up to that $40,000 liability? I do not know. So I think a letter of intent is in order here. I will say, as a teacher in San Lorenzo Unified School District for more than 30 years, it occurs to me, I'm looking at your membership, your board membership, and I'm not really, it's not really occurring to me who is there representing my students and the families that I know in Ashland and in San Lorenzo. And that's what these district elections provide for. I know some might argue, well, we can't find candidates from those neighborhoods. And nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, if I have to go out and knock on doors and make some calls, I'm ha happy to do it because there are plenty of talented folks, even youth. And I think, one of the good things about this law is it promotes turnover. So it takes some courage, some generosity. Some of y'all are going to have to give up your seats, but it will be good in the end. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Spaulding. The next speaker is Robert Bulatow. Robert.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, Hi, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I am very glad that you guys are moving forward towards district elections. It's one of the best ways to lower the costs of running, make sure that we're not creating too much waste with mailers and lawn signs littered throughout the city. And like I'm glad that the intent is there. And now it's all about, doing it in the right way, making sure that it's fiscally responsible. One of the things that was brought up to me was that it wasn't really budgeted for a demographer to come out there. So that might be one thing to consider for the next fiscal year, so that way you're not rushing into things. Having somebody there that can be unbiased and help create these lines and make sure that every district is demographically and geographically in a good space or equal and equitable. Making sure that there's no gerrymandering or anything like that. It's great. I love it. And the fact that you guys don't have to wait for a lawsuit. But that's about as much as I can say right now. Thank you so much for taking my comments. And I'm looking forward to seeing how much everybody else gives input on this. And one last thing. I did like what Mr. Turner had said about the public input as well, going into creating these maps. All right, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Bulatow. And our final speaker, as far as I can tell, oh, I guess it's not a final speaker. We have Peter Rosen. Peter, go ahead. Mr. Rosen? Mr. Rosen, are you there? You need to unmute yourself. All right, well, Mr. Rosen, you can hold and I'll move to Kelly. I don't have a last name. Kelly?
Abreu. Oh, I mean, I just happen to know it.
Right.
I
Are
got you.
you?
All
Are
right.
you?
Thank you. Just wanted to point out that really there's not a lot of leeway or wiggle room on going to district elections. You can do it the easy way or you can do it the hard way, but in most cases, when this ball starts rolling, it will roll down the hill. And as far it's really a matter of how can you do this in an efficient, cost-effective, politically representative way, and doesn't disrupt your board and doesn't lead to a lot of confusion and commotion. A lot of boards have done this. One that did it very very easily, very routinely was the Alameda County Water District. And I will Zone 7 has not gone to district elections yet, but I guess they haven't been. For some reason, they haven't been put in that position to do so. But clearly, Oro Loma, it's about time to do it. And there's not a lot of options as far as saying no. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. I guess it's Mr. Kelly. I apologize. And Peter Rosen, I saw that you were there. Now you're gone. Do you still want to speak, Mr. Rosen? Peter Rosen? So if he shows back up, then we'll allow him to speak, but I don't. All right, I'm going to bring this back to the board. Okay, well, I don't see him on the screen. Can you
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Is that
Can
Mr. Rosen? Yes, we can hear you
It
now. Go
is.
ahead.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry,
That's all
I'm
right.
technologically got problems.
That's all
No,
right.
I heard a bunch of this and I just want to say two things. One is, I emphasized it last time, it's to your, I'm speaking on my own behalf, first of all, but it's to your benefits to be proactive. And it's going to save you money because your process is actually going to probably be more honest to your community. And I think that you know your community better than some person that may sue you from another area is kind of like a ambulance chaser that's just looking to make money. And we had that happen. And I saw it happen with City of Hayward, and I saw it happen with HUSD and Castro Valley Unified. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, because this is going to happen to you. So it's going to save you money at least two-fifths and three-fifths, depending on which election it is. It's going to save Oraloma, and that's going to open the opportunities for individual candidates. So you're much better off being ahead of the game on this and doing it yourselves, because if it happens outside your control, it might cost you more, and you're going to end up with districts that you may not feel represent your community. So I wanted to encourage you guys to take charge and do it ASAP, because I think that this is a benefit to the community. And I also think that if the concern is that you don't think you have qualified candidates in one of these areas, there's an opportunity here for a robust discussion about community outreach and CACs and things like that. But do what you can and do it yourselves. That's my big message I'm trying to send. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. We appreciate your comments. Your timer is not working, Patricia.
That's right. Okay.
I don't see any other hands raised. Do you have any other people online who want to speak? All right, then I'm going to bring it back to the board for discussion. So public comment on this item is closed. So Director Lee, do you want to start?
Sure. Couple of things, right? And I want to thank all the speakers for speaking, right? They definitely see the importance in this, and there is definitely importance because, of course, you want to make sure that you have a representative democracy. I think what's important from this, right, is to understand some of the requirements. This is something that, definitely I support this. I think we need to move forward on this. One of the biggest concern, I think, one of the speakers, Robert Bulatow, noted was gerrymandering. If we hire a very good demographer, right, somebody who actually understands this process, understands that it's not just about the voters, it's about citizens of voting age population and actually census population. So I know that historically, when I looked at the maps in San Leandro, they tried to make sure within those census tracts that – not the census tracts, but the precincts – that the counts are pretty much closely aligned. You're not going to get a perfect alignment because of the populations. In terms of the voter counts, I think it's roughly about 55% of what their actual – voter counts, and of course, you have different voting turnouts per district. Robert also mentioned that about budgeting, right? I know that we've done a couple of things out of schedule, like when we did our Prop 218 notice, we did not budget for that, and that was out of cycle. What I need some clarity from staff is, you know, right now, we don't know what the cost is going to be for the demographer because two years ago, that's almost 3 years ago, that price may have changed because of inflation. Do we know what that budget is? Is it is the numbers that were shown on the screen roughly accurate, or is there a higher range possibly?
There certainly is a higher range possible. We don't know until we get proposals and let people know when our general timing is, right? If this is a slow time for them, you might get lower proposals than if everyone's extremely busy doing that. And so we don't have that information yet, but this is the general, I think a fairly accurate range. I don't think it's going to come back and be $250,000. Could it come back and be $90,000? I think that's within the realm of possibility.
And ultimately, because of the fact that it shrinks down basically the number of voters for the election, it's going to result in a lot cheaper election for us. That saves us in the long run and then provides that kind of benefit. I think there should also, if we're going to move towards something like this, and I'll make it very clear, I'm very supportive of this. I think we need to. But I think there also needs to be specific policies that we apply to us as directors, because I've seen in other districts where there was a grab to try to bring more projects specific to their specific districts. I think the policies basically need to constantly remind us that we service the our entire district, not just our personal district. So that's for a separate discussion, but I just want to make sure I lay that out there that we need to ensure that we're still serving our public at large. There are a number of comments that I took note on. I definitely want to see some of the examples from HARD, right? Because, they went through this process. There were some lessons learned there. Let's tap into some of those lessons learned. Let's try to get that information so that way we could learn from some of the pain points. And, maybe the word was used incorrectly, right? I don't want this to be political. I want this to be about the people. I want to make sure that when we define the districts, that we have a good cross-section to the best of the demographers' capabilities, a cross-section of all the different ethnicities, because that's what we will, doing so ensures that we achieve optimal representation of our public. And those are my comments.
Who wants to go next? Dr. Simon?
Sure.
As the last presentation was good, and this one was very good as well. Thank you, Alex, for the presentation. I support this concept. This is, we've heard about this, we've seen this in conferences that we go to, and it's the right thing to do. I mean, it really is the right thing to do. So, I mean, it saves money, it distributes representation evenly throughout the district. So I'm supportive of it, and just want to make sure we have a lot of good public input, like I know we will, since we have people online, and we typically don't have people in our meetings, as we know, but this will maybe a new start where we start getting more interaction, more people involved with the district. So I'm supportive. I think the realistic schedule is a reasonable one, and looking forward to seeing what the rest of the board would like to do. Thank you.
Dr. Dean?
Yes, I also support this. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about the money saved, because we're thinking about budgeting. What is this going to cost us? But let's look at the reality of it. So say the demographer costs us 80,000 or 100,000, but we save 40,000 by not having a lawsuit filed against us, right? So we've already, there's that, right? And then the last election was $351,000. So if we're going to have another election in next November, that's going to also cost us $350,000, right? That adds up to a lot of money really fast, right? So we're going to spend $350,000 over 4 years, right? Instead of every 2 years. So in three election cycles, we'll save over $1 million. So to me, worrying about 60,000 or 80,000 that a demographer is going to cost, when really we're going to save so much money that we're not going to have to pay the registrar of voters, right? Am I correct? Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. So so that's really like the financial part. It's actually a giant savings to us by doing this. And then as far as gerrymandering, I think that when the demographer comes up with the maps and the community weighs in on the maps, and when you keep communities of interest together, I think that eliminates a lot of those problems. And I know that you can be off by a couple of percentage points, right? And the max you can be off, I think, is somewhere around 8 or 10% is what you can be off. But that's like totally out of the ballpark, right? It's really, they want you to keep within a couple of percentage points.
Yeah, yes, I don't remember the exact numbers, but they do not have to be all the exact same amount. They're supposed to be the largest when the smallest are supposed to be a certain percentage apart, but they do not have to be the exact same.
Okay. And it's pretty clear that our communities, want to have representation in different neighborhoods and they want more local control. And of course, being an unincorporated resident, I completely support that. And I heard what Director Lee said about, making sure you represent everybody. And I think that's a really important point because, yes, we still do represent every single person, even if we only are elected by our small district. So I think that I would like to see us move forward with the shortest timeline because I can't see any reason that we would want to drag our feet. This is not going to go away. I think we should be getting that resolution passed. And I think we should be hiring a firm that's going to help us move along. And it's going to do amazing public outreach and is going to help us draw the best maps we can possibly draw. And then I heard one of the speakers talk about going and if, helping us. I just think this is going to be a really exciting time for Oro Loma. And I really look forward to this. So I support moving forward on the shortest schedule that we can have. And it's going to be a great thing for us. Thank you.
Okay, I'm in support of this, but I think we need to be very, 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 very cautious and very clear. I'm not sure any of those people who spoke live in our district. And that bothers me. I'll be very honest. And Right. So my question to you, Alex, I always have a lot for you. You were saying that one of our communities wasn't contiguous,
Sure.
and so is that Fairview? But wouldn't that be if we allowed Five Canyons to be a part of that? I'm looking at populations.
Unconnected area.
And yeah, so if you
Is that
look
what
at
you're saying?
the big map, there's the area that goes up to where Fairview is, where it looks like there's a line connecting. Jimmy's going to pull up the map.
So it's near Fairview, is that what you're
Yeah,
saying?
well, Fairview is not directly connected.
It is connected to Five Canyons. That's up the hill for me, so
You live in
yeah.
Fairview, that's what I thought.
So Fairview and Five Canyons are connected, but
Right.
they aren't connected to the rest.
Correct.
Sorry if that was
I
clear.
got you.
Yeah.
But see, and so that's why my question was population, voting population. Because, although there's a lot of concentration of people that live in Ashland and Cherryland, I'm not sure of the voting population. And so when the demographer looks at that, I mean, what does he look at first, the population or the
So the maps are drawn based on population,
voting population? Okay.
residents,
Oh, okay.
not voting population,
Age, right?
whole population.
Oh.
Yeah. So you might be aware that this is a pretty, on the national scale, a very hot topic
It
because,
is.
There are some who are opposed to undocumented immigrants being counted in the census and used, but like they are counted and used in the census and determining how many House seats each state gets. I don't know, whether consideration of voting age population is a factor you can take into account or not. That's a question we can ask the demographer. Do we want to make this district a little bit bigger and this one a little bit smaller so that they have, within the bounds of, population size, so that they have roughly equal. That's something we can ask, the demographer will know and be able to talk to you about. But I imagine, unless it could be this way, but like the Fairview Five Canyons is not going to be exactly 20% of our population.
Oh, I know.
And so you're going to have part of that, one way or another, you're going to have part of what I, to be compact, it's probably has to be Cherryland, part of Cherryland being connected with the Fairview
Yeah,
neighborhood.
but see, the community would be split. But anyway, we're not going to get
That
into
that's
that.
why
I
it's
mean, because I to be very, very honest, it bothers me how the Board of Supervisors have split up our community. You have a little piece of Ashland going to Lena Tam, and it just does not make any sense to me. And I guess that that's my biggest concern is, the demographer and how we make sure that, it is equal.
And I have, so, let's say the demographer will be able to help and they'll be able to show you all of this stuff and you'll be able, I think I mentioned in a commenter mentioned, there'll be a web area where you can draw maps and as you move the line, it will show you population in that.
Okay, right.
But that,
Similar to how they did in 2020.
yeah.
I'm very familiar with
So
that.
let's imagine Fairview and Five Canyons are, 16%.
So we have Fairview has 14,000.
That's that mean if they're less than 20%, they're probably stay all compact and then get some from the rest of the district. If they're, let's say they're 22%, well, they can't all fit within one district. These are very rough numbers. They're
Okay.
22%. You can't. Maybe that's a bad number because it's so close to 20. Let's say they're 28%. They can't all fit within one district, so you're going to have to put some of them into another district. And that's where it's you're doing your best job to create the communities of interest.
And I guess my last question is, when we do these maps, and people can weigh in. Can anybody weigh in, or do you have to live in the community?
Anyone can give public comment. You can decide, whether you want to listen to those or not. We can see there may be a way for people who submit comments to, have them put their address on it. I don't know that if that's something the board wants to do or,
The reason I say that is that I find a lot, my past experience in attending these meetings is a lot of people are used. I'll just put it like that. But, to speak up when you know very well that those aren't their words. And not that I think it's a big issue, but it's something that I'm very aware of. And if we're talking about representing the people we serve, I want to do that. And I really have no issue with going to the five districts, period. But I, you know me, I don't like to be forced to do anything. So thank you for allowing me.
You're very welcome. Director Lee has one more comment.
Well, actually, it's a question, right? And thank you for your, thank you for my colleagues. It actually triggered some thoughts. In Oakland, it's interesting because they have carved out seven districts, eight members on the council, and they have one at large. How does that work?
It's a little different for a city, is basically the short answer of it. There have been some jurisdictions that I think have done similar things. Of a lot of times you'll see what a city does if they're at large, is, and maybe they had, a lot of cities you may know have rotating mayors. They might decide, okay, we're going to have a elected mayor. That way there's still one person elected, citywide. I don't believe it is possible for the district, the way a charter city like Oakland could do it, to have sort of a split where we have, four district and one person elected at large or something like that.
Oh, no, thank you for that answer. I've always found that kind of strange because, like, why not just cut it into eight parts, right? And I think they still have an opportunity to do that. But then that's them. I think when we move towards something to the districts, I'm supportive of the five district model. I think when what I've heard from Director Duncan, there's a challenge because there's 14,000. It means that non-contiguous line will bleed into parts of Party Cherry Land and maybe Ashland just as well.
I don't know how many people live in Five Canyon.
Yeah. And
It could be another 10.
I think really the clear thing is we want to make sure that we do this right. So really the requirements that we define for the demographer, that's where the critical point is going to be.
And the demographer, just to stay on this example, I'm pretty confident in saying it would not be contiguous to pair Fairview with North San Leandro of Sliver, but like, does it have to be right there at Cherry Lane? Could it be down sort of lower? That's something they'll be able to. What does contiguous mean in this sort of unique situation?
Okay. So does the paperwork behind district elections include the word contiguous?
That's in the yes, that's in the factors in the Voting Rights Act and in the Fair Maps Act.
Regularly.
And so that is something that things need to be contiguous. This is a unique situation. What you could imagine in a normal situation is they don't want you to put North San Leandro, Northeast San Leandro, and San Leandro in
But
one
would
district
you
and
live,
have
could
something
you
else.
live, and maybe Hayward Acres since that's a smaller area?
Yeah, like that's what I don't
Yeah,
know. As the
yeah, I'm
crow
not
flies,
asking
they
you.
may be.
I'm not asking you to make decisions. If there are other comments before I make my comments, Dr. Dean?
I just want to say that we have 12,000 customers that live in Castro Valley. So that could be an area that could align with Fairview.
No, they have their own board.
No. Castro, okay, we have a lot of customers that live in Castro Valley.
I've heard you say that before. So where are those customers, Jimmy?
Oh, I
Is
no,
that
I know
part of
what
the
you're
group
talking
that
about.
we added some time back?
And then there's also Castro Valley above Fairview here.
Yeah, I thought we added some people some year, some time back. I don't remember what year it was. I knew there was, I just didn't know quite where it was.
I
Okay.
thought the last comment that they wanted to be Castro Valley, that sliver of people that is part of San Leandro on that hill. Yes.
Stay within our district, serve
Okay. And our names go on their ballot. Okay. That's
Okay. Anything else from this body? All right, I'm going to make my comments now. I know that you want two things from us. You want to know if we're in favor of doing district elections. I think you have heard clearly that everyone on the board, including myself, is in favor of moving to district elections. My objection is only to the schedule because you want feedback on schedule. The schedule that you have proposed, I'm not in favor of doing. I'm in favor of doing this correctly and based on a lot of things that my colleagues have said, especially about making sure we do it right making sure we have the timing right. But more importantly, I think we should do it toward the 28 election. If we do our resolution in January, we can start that process in 26 and then do it right, take it to the community, have all the, let people draw as many maps as they want, and then have it prepared and ready to go in 28. That's my feedback on the schedule. Then my other comments have to do with recognizing that we are elected to a district that has fewer than 50 employees. We have a number of projects online. The schedule that you put up here leaves almost no room for us to continue working on our communications plan, nor on the sewer lateral program, which we just started, and on having the bubble project that we're getting ready to start work on. And I think it would put too much pressure on staff. That's my big concern, is pressure on staff. So I'm in favor of going forward with the resolution on the district elections. I'm not in favor of doing it for the 26th election. So I will let everybody else do one final walkthrough here on those two questions, whether you're in favor of district elections and whether you want to do this schedule or schedule it for 28. Dr. Lee?
Oh, you know, and I'm basing it on some of the things I've heard, right? I don't want to rush through this. I think that, you know, rushing through this does a disservice to our community. We want to make sure that we do it right. And one of the commenters, right, Robert Bulatow, did note perhaps we could budget into our next fiscal year, which would put it into 2028 cycle. I know that we have a lot of things on our plate. We also have, the removal of one well. That takes up staff time.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So if we're going to do this right, we got to make sure that we allow the staff to have plenty of bandwidth to work together with us as well as the community. Because when we're scheduling this in such a time frame, a number of the residents will say, hey, I didn't really get a chance to participate. You guys just rushed through this. So I support, number one, budgeting this appropriately and also making certain that we space this out so that we can get plenty of participation from our communities.
So you're in favor of 28?
Yes.
Dr. Duncan?
Coming into it, this, I was really in favor of us moving it out. But now after I look at this schedule, my question to staff is, what projects could we put on hold to do this? The bubble machine, the Cargyle? I'd like to hear from him.
It's a good question. I have to talk to engineering to see what projects are critical that need to stay on this fiscal year and what are more discretionary.
The year won't be doing it. So I guess my...
Right, but you're asking about projects, so that's where I allude. You mentioned the bubble machine and all those things. Those are all engineering projects. So my apologies for misunderstanding your...
Let me phrase it different. Based on Director Young's comment that she was concerned with staff projects, that's what prompted my question. But as I stated my question, the engineers, and they're not going to be involved in this. So I guess my question to you is, is it something that we could hire someone temporarily to do the, hearings and all of those kinds of things?
There are consultants out there that more than likely can help us manage the demographer and so forth.
Not that as much as the public input. To me, that's going to be the greatest.
The demographer is sort of an all-in-one shop. Like, they're going to have they're one of the things they will offer, and it is not free, but like the website where you can draw your own maps, and they will have, from my experience in other cities, right, they have, here's a draft FAQ, like, do you want to make some changes based on that? So, like, they have a lot of the legwork, but that doesn't mean, I mean, they're still going to send draft things to me and Jimmy to review, for example, or Jimmy or maybe our the outreach person in the district, the communications, are still going to probably get some emails or some calls. So, you know, it's hard to quantify, but I just wanted you to know that there's, even though the demographer is doing a lot of this heavy lifting, it's not like staff won't do anything. They still have to be.
Very aware of that. I just went down a different path when I heard Sheila's comment, and
my comment really had more to do with the communications plan and the lateral rollout, because we have to use Terry's only, well, I shouldn't speak for your staff who would do the work. There are only six or seven people in the administrative staff, and I guess they're the ones that have to do the bulk of the work for this kind of a program, this plan. I don't know. You'd have to speak to that. I just think it's, I don't know what the rush is. What is the hurry to try to do this in 26? I mean, as far as I can see, there is no hurry. But I've made my comments. Let me finish up with Director Duncan.
I guess if we make a resolution that we're going to do this, the second part of your request is whether we want to do it in 2026 or 2028. And that's, and then for those of us who's running for 2026, in 2028, would we live out our 4 years, or?
Yes.
Oh, are you pushing for 26 or 28? He wanted feedback on the timeline.
So what I will say is, I mean, feedback would be good. If the board, if it's the will of the board, you could push that decision until January 27th.
We do the resolution.
I think we probably have to get multiple quotes from each demographer, because I think they will probably charge a higher cost if they're anticipating having to be engaged for, you know, a longer period of time.
Okay. Director Dean.
So we've all agreed that we want to move forward with this. So that means we're going to be doing a resolution. So what is the danger of not doing a resolution? The danger of not doing a resolution is a lawsuit, which means we will lose control of the process. Yes, that's how it works.
Well, I just said we've all agreed we're going to do the resolution.
Great. So the resolution kicks in, and then the schedule kicks in, which is 90 days. You can't do a resolution and then say, oh, but we're doing this in 3 years. That's not the way it works. We do a resolution, which we all agreed that we want to do. Then the 90 days kicks in. So it's not up to us to decide that we don't want this to happen on this timeline.
It is.
So, Alex, so I'm just explaining to you because I have
worked... I think I'd rather hear that explanation from you.
Why do I always get cut off when I'm speaking?
I just said, I'd rather hear the explanation from him. I don't want an explanation from someone on the board. Just make your comments, and then we'll ask him for an explanation.
So that's where I was going with that. I didn't need to be interrupted. I was going with, I wanted our legal person to speak to those points. You do the resolution, the 90-day clock starts. We can't just decide on our own. Am I correct? And also, the demographer does just about all the work. And we have seen with Hayward Unified, City of Hayward, San Lorenzo, Hard. We have seen they've all done it in 4 months, and it wasn't rushed, and it wasn't sloppy, and it wasn't gerrymandered. So I'm not really sure why we're feeling like We need 3 years to do something that all these other agencies have done because the demographer does the work. So, Alex, if you could speak to all those points, I'd appreciate
it. Yeah. So, I think I mentioned that the demographer does do the bulk of the work. I can't, you know, create an hours of how many hours of my time or Jimmy's time, but they certainly do the bulk of the work, the overwhelming bulk of the work. It is a, well, I was, yes, a resolution of intent blocks someone from suing you for 90 days. Whether or not someone would sue you at the end of 90 days, you may finish your process before someone sues you. The law is also what I would say slightly unclear. It does not anticipate the situation where someone, where the resolution is being adopted not in response to a letter. So there is a little ambiguity in exactly that, but I would say certainly there would come a time between January 27th and whatever, November 2028, where someone would be able to submit a letter and accrue those 40,000 in legal fees. When exactly they'd be able to send that, you know, it might not be on the 91st day if we adopted on January 27th, but certainly before, if we were waiting all the way to 2028, there would be an opportunity for someone to do that.
So explain to us how this works then. We have a resolution, and then it says right there that the first hearing has to happen by April.
So that's just one option to get it done within 90 days. To provide 100% certainty that you will be done and no one will be able to bring a lawsuit. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish it later, you know, especially by you know, in time to do it. There are ways to accomplish it by June for a November 2026 deadline without doing it in 90 days, without addressing, I'm just trying to figure out how to phrase this. But I guess the short of it is, if you want 100% guarantee that no one can sue the district, you have to do it within the 90 days after you adopt the resolution.
Wouldn't we work with the demographer to help iron out the, you know, the schedule? I mean, if they're going to do the bulk of the work, would our resolution, I guess I need clarity.
Yeah. So we certainly could. What I would say is you're doing this in a unique way. Normally a district doesn't have time to do that, right? Because you're getting a letter, a demand letter. You have the demand, the letter's not coming exactly 3 days before your next board meeting where it can be placed on the agenda. Like, you end up doing it, okay, so then there's probably a closed session. Then by the time you adopt the resolution of intent, you're probably close to the 45-day limit to adopt the resolution of intent. And so you have to move quickly. You're sort of doing things simultaneously. And certainly demographers are used to doing this within the 90-day period.
And I guess my question to you is that if we decide to do the resolution on the 27th, between that time, can we be looking for the demographer?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. So yeah.
Goal would be if to bring on the 27th, hopefully we would have proposals and a recommended proposal for the board.
It would be really starting on January the 27th. We would have some work done. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Director Dean, you had the floor.
Alex, do you have any more explanation about the things the demographer actually does for us besides draw the maps, does the public outreach. You talked about FAQs.
Yeah, they, I mean, they, I think that the most major thing is the maps, right? Because they don't, you've heard me sort of give extreme examples of like, obviously that's not contiguous with here. They know those laws and all of that, and how to look at all of this data about ethnic groups and different variations and know all of those rules and how to do that. And so they're listening to this public input. They're listening to what you say and providing, direction, feedback. My understanding is that demographers now, because in very recently the Fair Maps Act said that language about incumbents, you can't, you know, do something to favor or disfavor an incumbent, that they now use sort of walls internally so that the people preparing the draft maps are not actually the people who you'll see, because you'll be interacting with them, and so they don't want you to be influenced by you. So they take their feedback and, you know, the comments, or the other person listens to it but isn't here in person and does that. That's my understanding of how they operate in general.
You know, another thing I really like about us moving forward with this is, I think it's great for us to keep as much control as possible, for us to have a demographer that wants to work with us and not some attorney that might not have our community's best interests at heart. So is there anything you could speak to about that?
Like, I would say that, I guess the only thing I would say is normally I think these demographers are sort of split. Like, there are demographers who work with local agencies, and there are demographers who work with plaintiffs, and so you're not gonna, generally they're not crossing over. I would.
Anything else?
You're good. I'm good. Thank you.
Dr. Solomon?
Yeah, I support going with 26. And my understanding is that it's a pretty likely situation that we can receive a letter. It happened in San Leandro recently, and I understand it's happening other places too. We have people online, even though some of them may not live here, they could still submit, work with someone to submit a letter. Is that the case?
The person, the plaintiff has to be someone that lives in the district. Doesn't mean they don't have friends who live in the district, but the plaintiff needs to be someone who lives in the district.
Proactive rather than reactive. I would really, really not want to be in this situation. We are scrambling to do something. I'd rather put thought into this. And yeah, it'd be nice if we had more years. And we have had more years. We've heard about this at conferences for years. This is nothing new to us. So we knew it was coming, and now it's here. So I say face it. Let's deal with it in a professional manner for the best of the community. So I do have some questions, though, just understanding the timeline. As far as if we were to get a letter, say we didn't do this, right? Say we did do 28. And when is like the drop deadline? Could they do it within, I don't know, right before the election? Not right before, but what's the last time they could submit the letter?
So the last time they could submit the letter is you have to work back from when, you know, the 144 days before. That the we need to be able to finish by June 12th. That's what the county says they need. So we need to have the process done by June 12th. Otherwise, you still might have to do the process, right? If you got a letter on June 1st, you still have those timelines all still apply to you. So you'll still have to do, you know, adopt a resolution within 45 days, adopt the transition within 90 days. It's just that's not going to take effect until 2028, because you're past the deadline to get the maps to the county.
Okay. So if they wait too long, we'll be in
Yes. But that just to be clear, that doesn't mean the process is taking long. You're still doing the process in the truncated timeline. But it's just, you've missed the deadline to get it done before 2026.
What would be a really truncated, rushed schedule? I see the late last date possible.
So that I mean the schedule you see up there completed fast gives you roughly the timeline. To January 27th is I think 46 days from tomorrow. So it's actually a little late if we were to theoretically receive a letter tomorrow. But that gives you an idea of like it's 135 days. You gotta be done with everything, essentially, if you take the maximum amount of time possible, basically 135 days after the letter.
Okay, I have a question, Alex. Let's assume that we're going in 26 and all the maps have been drawn, and we have, well, currently we have three members who have to run in 26. So those three members will run in 26 in the districts as they are current as they are going to be drawn. Wait a minute. So we have three. The three districts get created, the five districts get created between now and whatever the deadline for election is in August. So incumbent number one runs in that district. What if there's another incumbent in that district who's not up until 28? Can they both run in that
Yes.
26?
So they can both run
In
it.
26, even though one of them is already elected to 28.
Yes. If that incumbent who his term doesn't expire until 2028 wins that district seat, they would
Then
have to
his.
resign their at-large seat. And then there'd be a vacant at-large seat that the board would presumably appoint someone to fill for those final 2 years.
If the incumbent who's in office till 28 loses that
This is
election,
no great.
they get to stay through the 28 anyway.
Correct.
That just it seemed like an odd thing to do. I've seen that in some other cities. But I just wanted to clarify that. All right, you asked for two things. You got your feedback and you got your decision on the resolution. So do you have anything more that you need from the board?
No, so what I have heard is well, decision is that we are doing, yes, you want to adopt a resolution on the 27th. It is still not, I have heard two of you say we want to go in 2028, and two of you say you want to go in 2026, and one person sitting right in the middle who is not, I haven't heard what that
Does
is.
that make a difference in what
And
you
so, if
think
it's at
for
the
the
board,
26?
we could bring it back on the 27th and the board can make a final decision. Then we would get multiple quotes from the demographers because I am this assumption, I assume they will charge more if we're telling them we want you on board now, but it's not going to be done until some later date.
I'm totally confused now. So if we go to the five districts and three of us are up, and say I'm representing the Fairview, and then the two people who are representing San Leandro, there's three people actually. The third person keeps their seat, but
So it may be easier to just use actual people on the board.
okay.
So the previous example was about Benny and Fred, who live very close to each other. And Sheila, Benny, and Rita, excuse me for using your first names, are all terms are up in 2026. The board will draw.
Oh, Fred.
Oh, sorry, I'm Fred. Sorry. Sorry. did the opposite. The board will divide the district into five districts. You will also then create the order that those go into.
Going.
So the three of you who are up in 2026 will look and say, is the district I'm up for, I live in, up for re-election in 2026? If it is, you can run for re-election in that district. If it's not, let's say it was sequenced to go into 2028, you would have to leave the board in 2026 and then you could run for that seat in 2028
Terms up.
because your term's up. If you are on the board in 2020, your seat's not up to 2028, you can look at the districts that are out there and say, oh, the district I live in is up for re-election, is up for election this cycle. I'm going to run in that cycle, in that seat. So direct Vice President Lee could decide, hey, my term's not up until 2028. I'm going to run in that seat now because it's up. And if I win, I'll have to resign my other seat and that vacancy will be filled. Or Director Lee could say, I'm not planning to run re again. I'm just going to serve until 2028. I won't be able to run for re-election 2028 because my district won't be up then, but that's fine. I'm just going to serve out my term and
Gotcha.
be done.
Okay, is everybody relatively clear on what we just discussed? I mean, well, we know for sure that we're going to do the resolution on the 27th, and then we'll further discuss whatever we have to discuss, including demographers on the 27th as well. Now, I'm going to ask one more question, which will throw everybody into a tither. Does it make any sense to create a subcommittee of the board to work with the demographers or with staff to do any of this homework? Save a little bit of a, I mean, somebody has to go out. I would assume that some board members will indeed go to some of the community meetings where there's going to be outreach. I don't know that for sure, but.
You could we could think about that. It's certainly if the board wants. It could also just be up to it depends on how much outreach you want to do. We could put the board could decide, we'll have a web page and the board could sort of put it out there in whatever news sources there are. I'm sure this doesn't cover the whole district, but like we could get put something in the San Leandro Times. We could put Facebook posts. So like it doesn't necessarily have to be in person, but the if the board wants to designate, subcommittee for two people to go out to do that outreach, that's up to the
I mean, I
board.
think it's if we're going to do this, I don't want to have outreach that just says, oh, it's on Facebook. If we're going to do outreach, I want to go into the neighborhoods and make presentations where we can. I mean, I assume your demographers are used to doing that. That's what I heard you say, anyhow.
Well, they are used to, so they will certainly be giving those presentations at this board meeting. We could, at the hearings, we could request.
You mean they don't literally go into the neighborhoods and do community outreach?
No,
They just do on
I think they're doing
digital
this.
media?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be digital, right? It could be mailing out a notice to everyone in the district if that's what the board wants to do. But I think we could ask them if you wanted to. That would significantly drive up the cost because now the demographer has to travel here. It's extra time, more hours of their time to go to these meetings and answer questions about that when the goal is really get them to these public hearings or submitting comments, however they submit comments, so the board can receive it. Not so the demographer can hear about it. It's really about the board getting the feedback.
I think that's a very deep discussion that we need to have if we're going to try to do outreach to the voters about what we're doing. I think it's like Rita said, it's very important, well, Rita and Mimi both, to make sure the community is aware of what we're doing. So maybe we can discuss more of that on the 27th. Director Dean.
Don't they become aware when the demographer does these public meetings?
Well, they're doing hearings here. They're not doing.
No, it's not here. It can be.
They are meetings of the board. The board does not have to have its meetings here at its regular hearing time or not. So you could choose to do them. You know, we want to do one of these on a Saturday or whatever, but these are
or at
meetings.
The community
of
centers.
The,
or
yeah.
The...
Yeah.
But they are board meetings. They're not. They're public hearings of the board meeting. It's not the demographers going out to the. That's what I was trying to figure out what that step looks like.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is these meetings, these hearings, they could be at different locations around our community and different times of the week and the day. And that is public input. And I don't think there's a need to have a subcommittee to go to different places other than these hearings that the demographer is going to run for us.
I agree with you. My question to you is if it's a public hearing, doesn't the board have to be there?
Yeah, these are meetings of the board hearings before. Yeah, but you could say we're having this meeting at this community center rather than here.
I get we can choose where we have the public meeting, but it has to be all five of us. It can't just be the demographers. So we can talk a little more about that on the 27th.
Yes.
So we can make it clear. Yes, Director Simon.
Demographer situation a bit more. So on the 27th, you're going to bring, what options will you bring?
So I will reach out to demographers and let them know what I've heard from the board of what is, we're looking for proposals. If the board decides to move forward in 2026, you know, they might move forward in 2028. Like, is there a cost difference or not?
As far as the 27th, that's the date we would approve a resolution.
Correct. And ideally have a proposal to approve.
Talking about this in these different proposals in advance of the 27th, so we're prepared to make a decision on the 27th?
Well, we don't have to necessarily set the schedule on the 27th. So it takes time to get proposals back. It also happens to be the holiday time. So like if the board is interested in a, you know, the first meeting of the month is canceled, presumably because of the CASA conference. So yeah, it is canceled. So this is the first opportunity. I mean, we would be you'll see the proposals that have prices and whatnot, and you can decide what, you know, take that into account as you make a final decision about schedule.
But you will bring the resolution on the 27th.
Yes.
And we could say, or I can say go, no go, whatever, since I'm the one that I'd like to see what the responsibility and stuff of the demographer is a little bit more, period. Okay.
I just confirmed it legal, I believe. On the 27th, you will have the proposals to review from demographers, but you will also have the option to say, I want more time to review these, and then have the resolution come on February 12th, which is the very next meeting. So it gives you another 2 weeks to really digest the proposals from the demographers and then award at that time when you adopt the resolution. If you're concerned about wanting more time to review the proposals.
I want to understand the process a little bit.
Dr. Dean, go ahead.
If you're still on, I'll wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were.
I've lost track.
I was kind of.
People just jump right in.
I was kind of on. I'll continue on. But my concern is schedule and resolution. You have the 27th, but now we're saying a resolution of the 12th. Backing that up back to the county again, I guess you're eating into your float between the fifth meeting and the county. That's what's happening. Okay. So if there's a way to get proposals to us earlier than the normal agenda time, that would be nice so we could digest it more. Thank you.
Dean?
That was my comment that I think that we should get those proposals by the 13th when everybody's at CASA. Or who's is going to CASA? Are you going to CASA?
I haven't decided, but
or is you're going? You're going?
I'm undecided.
So that's two people are going and you're going. So that's probably I'm not gonna go. So you know, I feel like all right, could we get the proposals by the 13th? So then we have 2 weeks, so we're ready on the 27th. Yes. I mean, that seems kind of more fair.
We can get the we can tell people they need to submit the proposals by that date. I mean, I would imagine we'll be, you know, reaching out to them by the end of this week. And then, you know, you all know as well as I is, you know, whether or not that would be not enough time or it's going to discourage people. I assume not. That's a few weeks after the holidays for someone to put it together. So I assume it won't limit the amount of people that we get proposing.
Right, because you wouldn't you feel like a person that does this all the time has kind of a pretty standard proposal?
Yes, I assume.
Right? It's not like they're spending hours and hours creating something brand new. It's something they do all the time.
They want us to think
familiar with our. I mean, I don't know how long that would take, but, you know, to your point, it's doable. You know, I want to see it. And so, period.
But the you're saying there's only two firms and they've just done Castro Valley, Hayward Unified, Hard, you know what I mean? They San Lorenzo, and they're probably working in San Leandro. So I feel like there's only two firms that you spoke of. So I kind of feel like they kind of know our communities already, right? Like,
yes. Say I was being a little exaggerating when there's only two firms. There are two firms that do the overwhelming majority of these. There are.
Okay. So,
yes.
So they're familiar because this is what they do. And they've done these other ones, these four other ones that are in our communities over the last couple of years. So I feel like they're pretty familiar with us. All right. Yeah.
Hey, is that it? Director Simon?
this kind of reminds me.
When you rush things, sometimes you lose bidders, you may not like it, and this and that. So I would make sure your demographer is comfortable, and we're not slamming this down their throats when we get something that we're not happy with.
Okay, I think we've discussed this enough at the moment. So I will leave it to you to understand what we've done. And if you don't remember what we've done, you can listen to the tape. So I will move then to item 8, staff and director comments. Director Dang, General Manager Dang.
I wanted to just highlight three things from the monthly email I sent out a couple weeks ago. One is that we have, Anime County has a public website that's monitoring COVID wastewater right now. So I just looked at the website before this meeting. Everything's flat in our area, meaning there's no, the samples that are being analyzed, the wastewater samples that are being collected and analyzed don't show any COVID or flu viruses coming in, which theoretically means that our community doesn't have those illnesses currently. But the idea is that if you start seeing that trend go up on that graph, you're going to see a spike in cases in the area. So that's we're supplying those samples to a third-party lab that was hired by Alameda County Department of Health. So please go to the link. It's interesting to see. The second thing is that we do have an updated map with all the different unincorporated communities on our website now, which also it has a link to that email I put. So please feel free to explore that and kind of play around with it. We did put the address lookup tool as well. So a citizen can go to our website and type in their address and it will tell them exactly whether or not they're being served by us. So it's pretty neat. And lastly, Lastly, monthly from the update is recruitments. We are going into interviews for our two open positions right now, which is a senior accountant position and also a district engineer position. Those interviews are going to happen within the next 2 weeks. I would anticipate that if those go well, we would have those positions starting sometime in late January. Two other things. There was a doodle poll that was sent out today for looking for responses from the board on possible board retreat participation dates with Sherry Petro. So if you could respond to those, that would help our staff with scheduling with her and get that on the books. And lastly, we did post the workshop schedule on the board member resources page a week ago. And currently there is no topic for next Tuesday, and therefore there won't be a meeting unless there's a topic that is and wants to be discussed, and we're given enough time to prepare for it. If it's a staff, if you require staff to produce materials, if it's a board discussion item, that's a different story. And I that's all my updates.
Alex, anything else from you, Patricia?
I have sent the draft digital newsletter for board review. So if you have any comments, please do send those back over so Terry and I can make those updates. And we're hoping to get those in our customers' figurative hands before Christmas with some helpful holiday tips on sorting and proper waste disposal.
F, excellent job, Alex. Again, excellent job. Thank you, public, for coming out. Back on the workshop that is proposed, I think something to consider for us to consider. Our workshop doesn't seem like it was that long ago. We covered a lot of material with all the stuff we've got going on right now. I'm leaning towards, you know, looking at potentially passing on that this year. That's just my personal feeling or comment on it. And maybe we can do extra work on this topic we talked about today, or our policies, or something. But I'm leaning towards looking at other things for us to do instead of the board Sherry workshop.
I didn't understand that.
What I'm saying is that...
What is it you want to do instead of something? I'm sorry, I just have a hearing.
I think we have a lot on our plates right now. A lot. And I think we had Sherry, it wasn't that long ago. It's still...
you're talking about the retreat lady.
Correct. Perhaps we pass this year on that retreat. And if we'd like to fill... If we have free time and we'd like to do something, maybe we could do a little bit more on this process, this... district process we're talking about, or policies, or maybe we don't do anything and we just catch a breather and let staff keep working. So those are my comments. Thank you
for your comments, Director Dean.
Yeah, I just I think we had a really robust discussion tonight. Thank you, Alex. Thank you to my colleagues and of course the general public out there. Really appreciate it. I actually am wondering if instead of canceling our next workshop, could we start looking at our policies? Are we ready to look at any of that stuff yet? We had talked about that, about feeling like we needed to start looking at our policies. We were going to get a bunch of stuff sent to us. Are we feeling like we could start looking at something next for our next meeting without creating all kinds of work for people that would be above and beyond what they would normally do for next week?
Certainly pick a random policy and bring it to the board for discussion. We didn't anticipate doing that until January per the board direction. So that's where we're at right now with that.
Great. It's just an idea. And then, you know, I sent Jimmy an email about public outreach because I was reading something and I was like, wow, all this public outreach stuff. And so I'm just wondering, do I need to get a thumbs up for this, Jimmy, to find out who on the staff is part of our public outreach team? Because it seems like it's a very long list of people. I didn't know that Perla worked for us 40 hours a week, and that's 20 hours she's with the commercial. Okay, could you explain that to us, please?
Talk about this now. It's not on the agenda.
All right.
What's the request?
The re okay, so my request, I'd like to get a thumbs up so I could learn more about who's actually involved in our public outreach and how many hours a week they're working on it, because I was completely unaware that really Perla is a 40-hour-a-week employee. That's what, so I just want a thumbs up so I could learn more about who's on our public outreach team and how many hours a week they're doing it, or a month, or whatever it is. I think it's a really important thing. And as people are talking about budgeting and being concerned about budgeting, I think this is a reasonable request.
Is that not something that you can work with her on? I mean, do we have to have a whole board meeting to just talk about that?
We don't need to have a board meeting to talk about it. And I don't know, I have no idea how long this would take, but even a one-on-one, if it's going to take more than 2 hours of the general manager's time,
it possibly take.
That was all that I was.
I don't know the relationship to that in policy. So somebody else is going to have to make some of these decisions. I understand what she wants to know, but I think it's important that.
I can certainly meet with Director Dean on a one-on-one basis. A lot of this information was also recently presented at Monday solid waste meeting. So those minutes
in the agenda
yet. Correct. That will be in the minutes. Correct.
And it's my turn.
Your turn.
I would like to echo her, because I was very surprised when you told me that Terry is only a part-time outreach person for the solid waste. You said that she was working on wastewater, and he has a comment, so let him talk.
Maybe it makes sense. It sounds like this information, was it in the solid waste discussion? I mean,
in the meeting, so no, it wasn't.
About Perla and her responsibility.
No, we did not talk about Terry and her being a part-time person on outreach. I'm surprised.
So it sounds like what the board is looking for is just for lack of a better word, like an FTE count of how many people are doing outreach and their percentage of the work. Yeah, this is 0.25% of this person's job. This is a 0.5.
But it sounds like Director Duncan is also saying that we don't know exactly what they're doing. I was under the impression that Terry was full time too in that.
She is full time outreach for the district. Her responsibility is to perform outreach on all the services that we provide for the district. So her job is 100% outreach. I just want to clarify that. But all our services encompass not only solid waste, but also encompasses the wastewater side. And that was the point I was trying to make. And if I didn't make that point, I apologize. But her job is 100% outreach.
I'm not confused about that. I'm confused about maybe I need to look at a job description. I won't occupy any other time, because my understanding was that she was going to, her outreach was for the schools. So anyway, I want to echo, perhaps we can focus on the policies for our next meetings, and maybe we can look at the oldest policy and just update it. And then my other comment is, I'm not sure. The retreat that we've had recently moved us in a better direction. So my comment would be that, you know, we use that time in a different way. And thank you.
Alex, for the excellent job that you always do in answering our questions and explaining the legal part of the projects that we're encompassing. And I also appreciate all of the comments that we've had by our public. So that's all I have. Finished.
Dr. Lee.
No, I appreciate all the comments. And also, I want to thank staff for the wonderful presentations along with all the public commenters, because this is an important issue for us. With respect to policies, I think I did make some comments in some prior workshops where I talked about the fact that, hey, there are certain policies that we have to abide by, like the GASB rules. That those are something that we can ask staff, or we can actually look it up online because it's available publicly. They're pretty well spelled out in terms of the summary as well as detail, because you can download each of those documents. I seen the policies, right, and we review them on a periodic basis. And when we review those, right, it comes to the full board for full approval. So, with respect to the job descriptions for Terry, that was presented to the board. It did have some division in terms of responsibilities in terms of outreach. Yes, she is a full outreach person, but then it did divide that her certain portions are going to specific areas. It's not 100% for schools, but it's pretty much 100% for the district. I think that was pretty clear in those documents that was provided to the board.
I have to respond. It may have been clear to you, but it wasn't clear to me, and I think I have a right to ask my questions.
Yes, in the
it
minutes.
was focused on me, and I'm saying I it was not clear to me, and I'm on the Stop Waste Committee, and if it wasn't clear to me, I mean, I think it wasn't clear to a lot. I know perhaps you guys are more intimate with it on personnel.
How would we be more intimate with anything? We make all of our reports come out in the minutes, so well, what
All
we,
right.
this discussion has gone kind of, outward to final comments. So, anybody else have any final comments for the meeting? Jimmy, can you see what you can do about clearing up some of the confusion about whose job is what and who's doing outreach?
Already indicated he would be doing that.
Well, he needs to do it not with just Director Dean, but also with Director Duncan, and perhaps the whole board. So maybe a memo of some kind. No,
Two thumbs
we
up
don't
just
need
in
that.
case it will take more than 2 hours.
All right, is everybody happy? I know nobody's happy. So, it's.
I haven't, sorry.
Go
I
ahead.
haven't received clarity on next Wednesday, next Tuesday. I didn't get a thumbs up for reviewing a policy, an oldest policy. So
I'm not in favor of a meeting next Tuesday. I don't, staff has enough to do with all the work we've piled on the last couple of weeks. If you guys want to have a meeting, have a meeting. I won't be here. Fine. There'll be three of them here. All right. Is that it? Is everybody satisfied that I've done what I'm supposed to do as the leader of this? Director Simon, you're the one that proposed that we get 5 minutes to talk. We've all overdone that tonight. So please go ahead. One final comment. You turn your microphone on, please.
Yes, I'm trying to be really nice when I speak, and you're not talking nice to me. So let's just talk. Please talk nice. It's all I'm
I
asking.
was talking nice. You are the one who suggested that we all get 5 minutes. If you were sitting here and you had every one of the board members interrupting every time we try to have a conversation, you would have the same problem. So I rarely get to talk in these meetings at all. I keep going back to everybody here. So one more comment from you under director comments.
I'm just all of us on the board. I'm just asking for us to talk nice, all of us, please. Okay, so I'll move on. My question is the policy next Tuesday. If there's more time, like say one policy we go through quicker, can you have lined up all this to the next one going in age? That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Your comments. I have no additional comments for this meeting. I would like to adjourn this meeting in memory of Stephen Cassidy, a former mayor of San Leandro and a relatively well-known activist in San Leandro named Isabel Polarosa, who passed away this morning about 3 a.m. With that, this meeting is adjourned.
He has a personal question in the hospital for that.
Sorry to hear about.
Yeah.
It was on the
are we canceling the retreat? We didn't